It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast. Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to Pod Save the American League. Oh, sorry, wrong podcast.
Hello
and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined as always by Gemma Kaneko.
Oh, that was so lame. You're so lame.
That's great. And Ian K making his triumphant return to the Cut Forecast.
I'm back.
Thanks for coming back, Ian.
Thank you for having me. I haven't been invited in a while, but
it's a standing invitation. It's a standing invitation.
You can always bump Dakota to be on the pod.
It's your seat. You're unavailable each week, so we have to fill in with all these other random people that we work with. That's really what it is.
If by unavailable you mean uninvited, then correct.
We have a lot to get to today. Obviously, Zach Cozart finally got his donkey.
Very exciting.
The conclusion to the most dramatic story of the MLB season so far. New Cardinal Tyler O'Neill. We met his father, not literally, and we have a lot to say about him. And then it's trade season. It's been trade season. It will continue to be trade season through the end of this week. This is a particularly exciting trade season, I think. But we'll get to all of that toward the end of the show. But first, this is, I think, the top story of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's been talking about this. It transcended into the national media, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times. Everybody was talking about it. Bryce Harper has started a food blog. I take it from your laughter, you don't take this seriously.
Well, I think
it's the most important story, other than Zach Cozart's donkey, of the year.
I think it's great that Ian is here on the pod to discuss it, because he is the Cut Four food czar, so.
I have a lot of thoughts. thank you for that. First of all, I think Gemma is the Cut Four. I can talk about food, but Gemma's the one who makes
cooks
food.
It? Well, see, this is why food. It's good, though. I'll just cook and you can eat the food.
Well, that so works for me.
Work.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I think an important question about Bryce Harper's food blog. It's technically an Instagram account.
And so is it even
a blog? Does it count as a blog if it's an Instagram account?
If it doesn't have WordPress or Blogger in the URL, then no, it's not a blog. This is my designation.
ML blog.
Yes, and it's not
an ML blog. It should be an ML blog.
So I think we have to first give Bryce credit for joining the content wars as a blogger now.
That's mining, true. He's our colleague now.
Yes.
Mining the fields for, likes and views and whatever else he's getting on there. I do have a lot of questions about the format and exactly where this is going. As someone who has started a blog in my life, I understand it takes a long time to find your voice.
Hey, Ian, which blog did you start? Could it be Cut Four?
Back in the day when Cut Four was just me typing away about weird things in baseball, yes. But as you can see, if you currently read Cut Four, we've grown far beyond that.
I like it when you write our yearly post where you write the one thing about food. It's great.
It is pretty much once a year.
Yes.
It's usually during All-Star. You weren't there this year.
It takes me so long to write one blog post now. So I only do it once a year because I'm working on it.
It actually takes the entire year to build up.
Well, it takes an entire game for me to write 300 words about a weird hot dog.
That's maybe why Bryce is sticking to Instagram only.
Yeah. I mean, the captions are pretty good. It's been so varied, what it is. Some things are just food, whatever he ate for dinner. But others are, well-rounded meals with a hashtag personal chef. So I'm not sure, and I think there was a smoothie on there. I'm not sure, what the tone is, whether it's, healthy athlete eating or it's, person traveling constantly highlighting food from different places. Or it's just, rich kids of Instagram, I have a personal chef. I feel like he does eventually need to find a lane and stay in it. But right now I support him trying new things and testing out all these different roads, see where they may lead.
I like that it has the variety because everybody's food blog is different. And the thing that is interesting about Bryce Harper's food blog is not necessarily the things that he's eating, but that it is Bryce Harper's food blog. And that's why I'm okay with him having some that's look at this awesome meal my personal chef made, aren't you jealous? While also having hey, I ate at this cool restaurant.
Well, it's not really a food blog. It's just, it's like BryceHarperEats.tumblr.com, well, basically. Yeah. That's what it is. It's just food that he has consumed. Like, you cannot know how to make the food in most cases. There are no recipes.
Yeah.
You're just left asking yourself, why would anyone put salmon in a taco? And then there's no, it's not like it's a bunch of restaurants. It's, this isn't, like, as everyone who listens to this knows, Adam Jones is the greatest food photographer and consumer in MLB. And when he does this, he's like, I'm at this restaurant, so I could conceivably go there and be like, I'm going to eat the thing that Adam Jones ate. I can never eat what Bryce is eating. I don't have his personal chef.
Yeah, I think also it's Bryce and Kayla Harper, his wife.
Yeah, we should not cut her out of this.
A group effort. Yes. So I don't know if, like, there's, pardon the pun, several cooks in the kitchen on this Instagram account. You know, I don't know if they eat the same things, they eat different things. A lot of the food that has appeared is unconventional.
Yes.
Gemma mentioned salmon tacos, which were part of a post about breakfast sitting alongside pancakes.
And eggs. And why eggs? Is there a full sunny side up plate of eggs next to your taco? Your salmon baffling.
Because he's a professional athlete.
Dude is jacked.
You need a lot of calories to keep that up.
It was unclear if that photo was from a restaurant or from his house or what or where that came from. I think the first post was some kind of like a charcuterie plate that also had asparagus on it, which is not a thing that I've seen before. But that's why I'm glad he's doing this, to kind of bring us, you know, these delicacies that we may not be aware of that exist out in baseball player land.
I guess this is true. I do like speculating on the weird combinations of food that he eats.
Yeah, yes. I mean, the last one was just a giant hamburger and a giant pile of fries, caption, moo.
Does it say where it's from or no? Because this is the key to this. Now, I'm from Charlotte. The Charlotte Hornets NBA franchise, their general manager is a man by the name of Rich Cho, who is also a food blogger. And
he's like an excellent food blogger. Like, if he was not the general manager of that team, he would just have a Food Network
I share
show.
This with everyone that I know, because my favorite, like, outside of baseball sports thing is that, like, he'll do the Instagram thing, and then he'll write, like, a five-paragraph essay in the caption, and he'll tag the restaurant. Bryce needs to tag the restaurant, and he needs to give us a little bit more info about the food, the flavors, how it all works together.
My favorite thing about that hamburger photo is it's lit from, like, only a flash, so it kind of looks like it should just have his face on it and just be the cover of his mixtape. Like, it's just...
Too many words there. You should have just said, the thing I like most about that hamburger photo is it's lit.
Yeah, most of the photography has been really good so far.
Yeah.
My food photography
on Instagram, it never looks good.
I know. Like, it looks so easy to do the top-down good lighting thing, but I've also never been able to.
Don't have enough lights in my house.
Look at how these people do it.
I know. It's so confusing.
If you have a personal chef, you probably have some very nice lighting, like restoration Kayla. Hardware, sconce, but however you get that.
Guys, Ian is very into interior design now. So.
It's going to be like that, you know those photos that are like, oh, what people on Instagram see, and it's like cute person, like, from above shot, and what my neighbors see, and it's like eight ladders and like one person, like a selfie stick that's been stacked up on 12 books. Like, that's probably what this is. There's a secret lighting rig that they have.
I bet that's true.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. Bryce, keep up the blogging.
It's only been six photos so far, I think. We're just getting started.
It's only
going to
get better.
It's good that there is that many. A lot of times these athletes will launch things and they'll get like three posts in, and it's like, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah. I mean, as we know, if you can build an Instagram account, you can cross over into all kinds of things. So this is just step one. You know,
step
we'll see where it goes.
Of the world domination plan from Bryce Harper. But let's move on here to talk about Zach Cozart, who, as you'll recall, made a deal with his teammate Joseph P. Votto that if he made, I don't know if that's his middle name, if he made, is he even Joseph or is his name just Joey? Is it like that on
his probably Joseph. I'm guessing it's Joseph.
I don't know. This is not the point of the story. The point of the story is that Zach Cozart, Joey Votto made a bet. Zach Cozart made the All-Star team this year. Votto would purchase a donkey for him. Obviously, Cozart did make the All-Star game, and lo and behold, Joey Votto has bought the donkey for Zach Cozart. Now, you actually have the ability to name the donkey if you go to the Reds website.
It's named.
Oh, it's already named?
I named it.
Do we know what it is?
Yeah, we know what the name is.
What is the name of the donkey?
It is Donald the Donkey, which is actually named by Cozart's son, Cooper, and unclear whether he took any of the suggestions made on the Reds website into consideration.
Okay, well, that's good news to have.
Did Donkey McDonkface not win the internet naming rights competition?
I will say, if anybody has the right to name the donkey, it is Cozart's child.
It's because he likes Donald Duck, and so named the donkey Donald after Donald Duck.
It's good alliteration.
He should have named it Donald Duck.
Yeah, that would have been cute.
Can I just tell you?
That would be really confusing and great.
My favorite part of this, that he finally met the donkey this week on Saturday. And I got to say, my favorite part of this is there's a quote in the story. And I'm just going to read the quote. Here's the quote. "I'm excited to finally have my donkey." That's the entire quote. That's great. I'm excited he finally has his donkey too.
I just want to know why he likes them so much. Like, what is the reason? What is the story behind that?
They were talking about it in spring training, I guess.
And he was just like, "I like donkeys."
And they went to visit like a petting zoo or something in Florida. It was all very weird.
Is it like how, you know, when you're like eight and you're like, "I really like the Power Rangers," and then you just, what is this? Why does he like them so much?
God only knows. I guess Arizona. They're in Arizona.
Yeah, I think you have to look at the video. It's on cut4.com Me the donkey.
Yes, because it's really cute.
In which the donkey is weirdly, first of all, it's like a baby donkey.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I didn't realize going in that it was
not
a full-size
donkey. You
want
it to grow into
yet.
The full donkey.
Yeah.
So it's like Votto's there and Cozart is there and the donkey is in a tiny hexagonal pen. It's like the size of my New York City bathroom, this pen. Actually smaller than that, probably. My bathroom is small. And Cozart's kind of feeding it and Votto's standing there and Cozart goes something along the lines of, "Wow, he's really here." Like, they're like, "What do you think about the donkey?" And the donkey is here. And he even says, like, "Now I have a companion for life," which he might not fully understand donkey lifespans.
Also, he's married, right?
So, I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
But nobody can deny the donkey is there.
Donkey is there. He's excited. We're all excited.
He likes to eat hay and chill out. It's a good donkey.
Cozart is definitely one of the 2 million most excited people that he has a donkey.
Does he have like a house with land to put the donkey?
Probably.
Do we know that?
He lives
does
in New York City in an apartment like us. Well, he's gonna put it on the roof.
I don't know. Some of these guys, like Jake Peavy, had that farm that he bought the duck boat and put it on. Like, there's weird things.
Donald Duck boat.
Like, a lot of guys have just like farms in Texas.
He probably
whatever.
Has some
Is
land area.
One of those
area?
Baseball players.
It's
or
just...
a yard. He probably has a yard, right?
You can't put a donkey in a yard.
You can put a donkey wherever you want to put a donkey.
Not
I feel
like, no, you can't just have it out back.
I feel like you can. Why could you not?
Doesn't it need to like run or go somewhere?
I don't think donkeys.
It has an appointment. Work. Like, it's like I gotta go to the dentist.
Like, I don't know. Like, it shouldn't be in, like your tiny subdivision backyard.
My neighbors, when I was a kid, they kept goats in a subdivision backyard.
That's
they
really weird.
Yeah, my friend, this girl Nadia used to bring it to school, and it would sit in the passenger seat of her car.
That's. Where did you go to college? The Wizard of Oz.
This was in high school.
High school?
Yes, in the suburbs of Detroit. This was a real thing that really
That is
happened.
Really weird.
Yes.
How bucolic. I have a lot of coworkers who have at some point expressed an interest in various pets or like commented on the cuteness of an animal. It would probably be aggressive for me to show up with that animal and gift it to them for life.
What if we made the All-Star team, though?
If you that make the All-Star different. Team.
Would you get me a dog if I made the All-Star team?
If you
team?
Make the All-Star team, I'm getting you a horse.
I don't want a horse.
Well, too bad. That's what's happening.
Cozart could get traded between now and the deadline, too, which means, like, this donkey could end up in any city. Which
Hopefully
is another...
New York City. Hopefully. He can find an apartment with a donkey pen. Pen? Is that the word?
Yeah.
And then the donkey will just go to the big farm upstate. New York.
Oh. Well, that's
wow,
a
this
dark
got
note.
Sad.
Let's move on.
Also, Joey Votto's middle name is Daniel. Joseph. How do you know that? I looked it up on the internet.
Just now?
Yes. It's Joseph Daniel Votto.
And his name is Joseph.
Is Joseph,
Is
yes.
it with an F or a PH?
It's with a PH.
Okay. It could be Joseph. Joseph Votto.
He has a normal name. Get over it.
Okay. Let us move on to our new, not the newest, but a new member of the Cardinals, Tyler O'Neill. He was traded for Marco Gonzalez with the Mariners. And I just got to say, we were introduced to his father. His father is named Terry and Tyler. His father... was named Mr. Canada in 1975, which, believe it or not, is a bodybuilding award. If you go to MLB.com/cut4, you can see the photo. His father is jacked, and it's a very 70s photo. So, whose dad could his dad beat up Marcus Stroman's dad? Yes or no?
I'm inclined to say no.
You're inclined to say no.
I'm inclined to say no.
Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, I also say no.
See, yeah, here's the thing. Bodybuilders, it's all for show. The muscles are not real. Like, they're real, but they don't actually do
Dakota's going to get beat up by Tyler O'Neill's dad. That's what's going to happen.
I don't want to fight Tyler O'Neill. He would beat me up. But, like, your average strong guy, the bodybuild, they're also, sometimes they're incredibly weak, especially during those.
Weak?
Yeah, well, during the actual show, because they're dehydrated. Because they have to dehydrate in order to flex and look stronger while they flex.
So if you're going to fight a bodybuilder, it would be during the
You'd
show.
You'd want to do it right when they're, okay. like, on the stage. That was that would be one. So, like, that photo shoot where he's, like, flexing and just being Mr. Canada, that would be when you want to fight him.
Having a former Mr. Canada dad named Terry is an extremely dad thing to do.
Yes, yes.
Do you actually know? Is this real? Bodybuilders aren't strong. I'm not.
This is
convinced.
Real. This is a real I'm thing. Not this is a real thing. If it like the like posing like bodybuilding competition guys, not like professional weightlifters.
Okay, but. So perhaps he's not at like peak physical strength the minute he's in a bodybuilder show, but he still has like a ton of muscles just
like,
on his
probably
body.
Probably still like pick up a couch, right? Like
probably, but like people could pick up a couch. Ian, I bet you can
Here's my question. Here's my question. So we know that, like, naturally you gain dad strength as you get older. It's like how your own dad can always beat you in arm wrestling no matter what. Even though he's got, like, 40
That's
years
on you. That's
actually
not – I beat my father in arm wrestling recently, and it bruised his ego very
harshly. Wow, this is like a serious, like, 20th century drama going on in the Gardner household.
Well, he demanded a rematch because he was very upset about it, and he – definitely won fair and square.
I feel like you're gonna write a Philip Roth novel now about this. Like, wow.
Setting aside Dakota large adult sonning Al Gardner. My question is, as we know that you gain dad strength, which allows you to do things like build a table and, you know, move your kids into college.
Yes.
But if you're already the strongest man in Canada when you're younger, do you still gain dad strength as you get older? Do you lose it? What happens?
This is
a
good
question.
Different
kind of strength.
Oh.
It is.
Is this the tagline for the like nice heartwarming
movie
about dad
strength?
No,
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like dad strength is like opening like jars and stuff like that, and that's different from like being the jack dude. Remember that jack dude at City Field who couldn't open
a
water
bottle?
That's dad strength is opening the water bottle, not just being. Also, that lends credence to my point. Just want to throw that out.
Dad strength is opening the water bottle. Bodybuilder strength is opening the protein bottle.
Well, the thing is bigger on the protein, but it's harder to get a grip on it.
Can we do a real quick, say it again, dad strength?
Dad strength?
Say it.
Dad strength?
Dad strength. You guys are G people. I'm not a G person.
Okay.
We can
We've all
on.
Learned.
That no one cares about how you pronounce the word strength, Ian. It's time to move on. But before we do, we want to take a second to tell you about the Fantasy 411 podcast. Do you want to win your fantasy league this year? I'm not going to. I desperately want to, but I'm not going. It's in all likelihood we have the winner of our
Ian's
fantasy league
win.
Here with us right now.
Should we tell a little fantasy league trade story?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
I would just like to note mid Fantasy 411 podcast read. That Dakota and I recently consummated a fantasy trade.
We did. That is true.
I received Brian Dozier and
Mad Bum.
Madison Bumgarner. I'm all in for the stretch run.
Yeah.
I'm buying.
He's a buyer.
Dakota
I'm a seller.
Was selling.
I was a seller.
What did you get back?
This took, I forget who I got back. Mazzara?
You got Noah Mazzara.
And
Lewis Brinson.
And I think there was some other piece. But at any rate, I sold. I sold. Those guys were expensive. And the reason why I had to sell is that I'm not great at fantasy baseball. I have to admit that. If I wanted to get better, I would listen to every week of Fantasy 411, which I do, but it doesn't really... It
doesn't sink in.
It's not internalizing.
It's not really connecting with me. But whether you're playing our weird auto-new format, which is like... really complicated.
None of us know how to win, actually.
Really, Ian is the only one who knows lucky. How to play, which is why he wins. Or a 10-team head-to-head league or a 20-team dynasty format, Fred Zinke and Matthew Leach can give you the edge. Even if they haven't been able to give me the edge, they will definitely give you the edge because you're smarter than I am.
We've also all made it our goal to defeat you.
That is true.
Or
people
Ian,
all
but
refuse
Ian,
to trade with me except
Ian,
for Ian.
Ian has just somehow, weird. Even though we all want Ian to not win, he's going to.
It's very tedious. But with the trade deadline dooming, last week's episode of Fantasy 411 broke down how the values have changed for recently traded players like JD Martinez and Todd Frazier. I think we'll touch on them in a little bit. And it featured some advice for how you can anticipate the next round of pre-deadline moves before the rest of your league does, because it's better to see who's going to have the value before the trade happens. You can buy them low. Before you set your lineup or hit the waiver wire, subscribe to the Fantasy 411 podcast on iTunes today. That is the Fantasy 411 podcast. Type that into iTunes and click subscribe. As we just mentioned, it is trade season, baby. There is all kinds of trades happening. There's probably a trade happening right now while we're doing this podcast. You're going to hear about it, and you'll be like, why didn't they talk about that trade? That trade was insane. Mike Trout got traded to the Yumiori Giants. I know.
What?
I know. But sadly, we aren't going to talk about that trade. But we do have some other trades that we want to discuss. My question to the two of you first is, which was your favorite trade that's happened so far? There's been quite a few. Ian, do you have one that sticks out in your mind?
I did like the Todd Frazier, David Robertson, Tommy Canely. Is that how we're saying it? Canely trade for the Yankees. I like that they just kind of bought everything they needed in one deal. It's sort of like when you go to Costco and they just have your food. They've got like other things. You know, you can just get it all one-stop shop and then you take the rest of the week off.
I actually had that as my most surprising trade.
Really?
Because for a week and a half, I had heard that Todd Frazier was going to the Boston Red Sox.
Right?
And so I had sort of emotionally accepted that. And then it turns out, no, he's actually going to the New York Yankees. So that was a little shocking to me. It seemed also like it kind of came out of the blue. Like, there wasn't a lot of reporting that the Yankees were interested in him.
Yeah.
I didn't think so. I didn't see it until it happened.
Just got to get better sources. You think you're plugged in.
Not an insider. Dakota Gardner,
I'm definitely not an insider. I'm definitely not an insider. Gemma, what was your favorite trade?
I really liked the Quintana trade. I actually really liked it for both teams. And I also liked how it just kind of kicked it off. Like, oh, this is actually going to be really exciting because I didn't hear anything about it. Again, not an insider. But I really don't think most people saw that coming, which was fun. And it also said, like, hey, pay attention because it's going to get weird.
Yeah. Also, the Cubs. I like the Cubs buying. I think that was smart.
I like the confidence of the Cubs buying, and they were right, obviously. So,
well, they're always right because team president, the Epstein,
whatever,
greatest leader in the world.
I'm on the Pirates bandwagon now, but that's neither here nor there.
I also think Eloy Jimenez is the truth. We've said this on the podcast before. We're going to say it again. He's the truth. So good trade for both sides.
Yeah, good trade for both sides. What was your favorite?
Mine was the Quintana trade as well. Mm-hmm. I thought I like the aggressiveness. I think that, like, it's easy to look at that rotation and be like, we don't need another ace pitcher. But you do need another ace pitcher.
Do they still need another ace pitcher?
Yes.
Darvish?
Why not?
Going to the Cubs?
You Darvish. How about that? How about him being available? That's going to be weird if he does get traded.
I think that, like, there should be more speculation. There's not a ton of buzz around it, but he could be a big difference maker.
Well.
Yeah.
Let's speculate.
Let's wildly speculate.
I decided to come up with a fun game where we pick just a ridiculous trade destination for somebody and then try to convince the other members of the Cut 4 cast that it's not ridiculous, that it's actually it's actually realistic, feasible, and could be fun. So, Ian, what is your fake trade? Does it involve you, Darvish? Does it involve somebody else?
It does involve you, Darvish. I'm sort of surprised we haven't seen a team try this yet, and maybe it's because it's really hard, which I learned in 15 minutes of Googling depth charts and trying to come up with it. But I'd like to see a team both buy and sell at the same time. So,
okay,
like,
yes,
if you're the
no.
Royals and you're basically in it but also have a lot of potential free agents, like, the Royals should go and buy Yu Darvish, like,
okay.
trade for him, but then also sell Eric Hosmer to a
okay.
different team in a different deal to, like, replenish some of the farm system. You could find a first baseman. He wouldn't be as good as Hosmer. Like, you
right.
could play Brandon Moss there or something. So they could be buyers and sellers at the same time. This might be just because I like a lot of trades. And if I were a GM, I'd be making trades every day. Like, Jerry DePoto would look like nothing compared to me.
Ian and I have had – I think we have traded more than any two people in our fantasy league, and it's because we both are obsessed with trades.
Yeah, it's not to make your team better. It's just to make your team different.
It's so fun. Well,
that's
it's
fun.
The fun of trades is talking yourself into – a guy having a breakout and being like, no, that guy is going to be really good, and then I'm going to look like a genius because I traded for that guy. I have a feeling that there are a lot of general managers who also behave that way, and I think that, like, that is the – because here's the thing. It won't work out 9 times out of 10. The 1 time out of 10 it does work out, you can just be like, I'm a genius. Look at me. Like, I got Corey Dickerson on – for nothing. I picked him up as a free agent at the beginning of the year. I look like a genius. I look like the most intelligent man in the world. So, like, that's the beauty of the trade deadline. But I'm in on your Darvish buy/sell.
Yeah, I mean, a real genius would have drafted Cody Bellinger for $2 before the season, but that's neither here nor there. The best part is that, like, you don't know what's going to happen, and you try to, like, assess the values, and you're like, I don't know, maybe, am I getting enough? Could
yeah.
I get more? Is there a better offer? And then you just press accept. The rush of, like, these are on my team now.
See, that stresses me out. That's why I always spend weeks dithering over trades, because I'm like, but what if I could get a better offer? I can't
That's
do it. It makes me really anxious.
You're the only person I could trade with, because you're the only person who will be like, yes, let's do it. Everybody else is like, no.
Dakota, it's because I know I'm winning.
I've
I should
totally
trade with Adrian so he can make a push.
I've ripped Claire off like half a dozen.
Yeah, you have. But that's also because Claire only likes to trade to make his team different and full of weird dudes. Like, he never trades to make his – no one – no.
Well, Gemma, why don't you – enough about our fantasy.
I know. That's why everyone tunes in, right? To
what,
listen to our fantasy
yeah.
chat.
What is your fake trade?
Well, you said fake trade, and you said it should be really ridiculous. So I decided
yeah.
to get really ridiculous,
okay,
which is that – I would like to preface this with knowing that no buying team right now really needs outfielders.
Okay.
But wouldn't it be so great if the entire Marlins outfield just was playing for a contending team?
Yes. Okay, I'm here for this. Yes. I'm here for this.
So no one is like, oh, we need to replace our entire outfield. But if they did, I would like to see them go to a borderline team like the Twins, maybe, because then they could just have this ridiculous, crazy push.
I like the Twins outfield, though.
Yeah, I like the Twins outfield, too, which is why, like, maybe not so much the Twins.
About, like, the Rockies?
That was my final choice, actually, as I was like, the Rockies, because they are a team that, you know, wild card-ish. But also, Giancarlo, I would like to see that happen.
Giancarlo
in
at Coors Field?
Yes. Yes, I would just like
they
to see that as a
the
human.
Derby at
yes.
Coors again, no humidor, and just send Giancarlo out there and just see.
No, this should just be a primetime, like, pay-per-view event.
And
like
Judge.
This.
So, yeah, I would pay $89 for this on pay-per-view.
Yes.
And just the two of them mashing taters.
Yes, of course.
As far as they, it'd be like 800 foot home runs. That would be the dream.
Yeah, so yeah. It would be the entire Marlins outfield goes to, I mean, obviously there are outfielders in Colorado that are fine, but like for fun and enjoyment, Ozuna, Yelich, Stanton, I'll go to the Rockies. Yes.
Do we know, is Christian Yelich related to Lord? Do we know that? Isn't her name Yelich?
What?
I don't know. Forget I said it. My fake trade, both
we'll
of which...
We'll be back with more on that next week.
I think her last name is Yelich. I could be wrong. At any rate, my fake trade, I was going to say one of them is kind of trolly, but they're both trolly, so I'm just going to go out and say it. Justin Bour, not to make this entire podcast about our fantasy league, I did totally rip him off from Claire at the beginning of the year. It was great.
I'm
and
surprised
you know,
he lets you get Justin Bour.
I know,
him.
I am too. He was like a throw-in in another, in like a Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury trade.
Oh, this
great.
Is
Claire's
gross.
Claire's evaluations
what a bad
aren't
trade.
Based on stats.
It was a terrible trade. At any rate, The Red Sox should do the same thing.
Get Justin Bour.
And I think Justin Bour at Fenway Park would be super fun. Justin Bour is super fun. One of my, like, 15 favorite players in the league. He's great. And then the other trade I thought, and you could send Sam Travis if you wanted to return. First base prospect. Make it all work out.
He's going to be a strength dad in like 10 years.
Which baseball, wait, hey, I'm totally putting the pause on the rest of this podcast. Which baseball player has dad strength?
Already plays
with dad strength. Brian McCann, perhaps?
Matt Adams.
It's Matt Adams. That's the real answer.
Correct. Ian is correct.
Brandon Moss.
My second trade. Justin Verlander for Yasiel Puig.
Ooh. I like it.
I like Hugo, that too. That's ready to come
up. Bring him up. He can replace Puig. Verlander is the sort of Kershaw pseudo replacement until Kershaw's back. And then in the postseason, you have Kershaw, you have Verlander. Like that, those two guys are gonna win you the World Series. I'll say it.
For the low price of Yasiel Puig, the Dodgers can win the World Series.
Yes. Who doesn't do that trade? Nobody.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see.
And then, Gemma, you get Puig on the Tigers. Wouldn't that be
fun? I would get a jersey.
Yeah. That would be fun.
I would like Justin to get a ring. He's not going to do it in Detroit, so.
Here's a question all this made me think of in our remaining few moments here. If there was a baseball, like in soccer, you can do loans. You can do like season loans or half season loans. If like, could you make a loan partner in baseball where like you could just say, you know what? Okay, we're not gonna make the playoffs. We want to have Giancarlo forever, but we'll just let you have him until the end of the season, and then we'll get him back. Who would be like the guy for that right now?
Oh man, I would like, it'd be cool because there's lots of guys I'd like to see play in October that aren't likely to be playing in October. But this seems like a lot of logistical issues here.
What? Forget, ignore the logistics.
It's all fantasy.
Buster Posey.
Well, this is like how when we made up our fake wildcard team that's all just made up of players who didn't make the postseason.
Yes, that needs to happen. Yes.
That should happen. Yes. That would be good.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yes.
Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more next week. Or maybe when the postseason rolls around and there are guys, sadly, who are not there. maybe we'll do it then. But it is now time to wrap up. Which means it is time to summarize our podcast in 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Ian, since you claim to have won our fantasy trade, you get to go first. Give us your tweet.
Crazy coincidence how the Nationals traded for Zach Cozart and Harp Eats featured that donkey stew.
Oh.
Thinking emoji.
Oh. Oh, wow, that's so sad.
This podcast is now going to be boycotted by Peter.
Wow, so sad.
It's a coincidence.
Not okay.
Ian is anti-Donald Duck the donkey.
Not okay. Gemma, what do you got for us?
Mine is going to be excited for Marcus Stroman's Instagram of his jacked dad fighting bodybuilders and Dakota losing all those fights on the undercard. Hashtag bring Giancarlo to course.
That's good. That's good. Okay, here's mine. Justin Bour to the Red Sox and the Marlins outfield to the Twins, : on this week's episode of Pod Save the American League.
Blocked.
So many bad tweets this week.
Reported.
All of us had terrible tweets. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately could condense our podcast in one bite-sized chunk, please tweet at us at Cut4 with hashtag Cut4Cast. You can go to MLB.com/Cut4 for all of the best posts moving forward on our website. You can also go to Facebook.com/Cut4, like our page. And all of our content will appear into your newsfeed at the whims of Mark Zuckerberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can email any questions, comments, concerns, queries, conundrums to us at Cut4@MLB.com. That's Cut4, cast@mlb.com. This is a podcast. You can go on iTunes and leave us a review or a rating, 1 to 5 stars. Please take the time to do that. It helps other people find the show. If you, in lieu of writing a review, you can also type your favorite baseball player, as the boys of Sesame's Family Barbecue so kindly suggested to us. Ian, thank you for being on the podcast.
It's great to be back.
It's always lovely to have you
here. See you in 6 more months.
See, it's always lovely to have you here. Gemma, as always, thank you for putting up with me.
Of course.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.